Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, who is the Christ this morning. I don't know if you caught what was being said in Isaiah. So I want you to catch a little portion of Isaiah. So I'm going to read it again. We heard this morning, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? I am about to do a new thing." The prophet Isaiah is speaking God's word to a people who were in exile, a people who were lost, a people who were demoralized, a people who for generations had lived outside of their land, outside of the place that helped them to form their identity of who they were as God's people. Two of the most formative periods of the people of Israel were the Exodus and the exile. The Exodus was when the people left Egypt. In Egypt, they had been slaves, and Moses led them out of Egypt through the parted waters, right? We know the story, into the wilderness for 40 years. The story is recounted many times over and over again throughout Scripture as a marker of their identity, of who they were, a remembrance of the history of the creation of their people. Then the exile, about 600 to 800 years later, the people of Israel were taken during the war with the Babylonians. The country was destroyed, and the people were taken from their land. Ancient empires, they knew how to eradicate a people and a culture. It didn't mean just capturing the king and the rulers and the army that followed them. They knew to entirely destroy a culture of a people, they had to take away the vision and the dream and the spirit of that people and that culture. Not only were armies taken captive, but the poets and the artists and anyone who might be able to keep the hopes and the dreams and the stories alive of a people were taken and often destroyed. But roll ahead a couple of generations, and the people in exile with the Babylonians, they had settled in. They had become more comfortable, if you will. They assimilated to the way of the Babylonians, and they were forgetting who they were. They were forgetting the culture of their identity. So as I was reflecting on this passage from Isaiah, I was reflecting on us as God's people and how too often I think we forget our identity as God's people. How often are we just finding ourselves, not even knowing it, but caught up in paying mortgage or car payments, updating our houses, or finding the more and more experiences that we can of some sport or some theater or some musical performances. Or perhaps we're vacationaholics. We want to go to the most extreme and exotic places. How often are we caught up in the system of making money or acquiring or just making a name for ourselves? And I think in our culture, it's easy to get on that escalator. It's easy to ride that ride. And it's harder and harder to remember who we are, the people of God. People who are marked with the sign of the cross and the waters of our baptism. People whose identity is in Christ, not in commercialism, not in capitalism, not in the things of this world. Good old prophets like Isaiah are not people who were storytellers or psychics or telling of the future. They were people who spoke God's word into the public at a very particular time and a very particular space. They weren't necessarily religious leaders and rulers either, but people who were given a word to speak at that particular time, and often it was a word of challenge, a word counter to the world around them. But we hear this section from Isaiah in the midst of our Lenten journey, and it's not necessarily a word of challenge we hear, but I think a word of comfort. The people were broken in spirit. Isaiah is remembering the people of God, the God who rescued them from Egypt, and the God who will lead them home, the God who is there all the time. But for a people whose identity is bound up in the past, in who they were, it seems strange to read this. So I had to paraphrase it, and I reworded it this way. "Now I say to you," said Isaiah, "don't dwell on the things of the past. Don't get bogged down in nostalgia. I am about to do something completely new. Can't you see it taking shape before your very eyes?" A lot of what we do as a church, and even individuals, is we remember the past. Remember back when. We remember the story of the Exodus, the story of the people encountering a new land, the story of life and death and the resurrection of Jesus. These stories are foundational and fundamental to who we are as people and as people of God. But we too, I think, need to hear what Isaiah is saying. Don't get bogged down with nostalgia. The stories of this country, the stories of this community, the stories of this congregation and the Lutheran Church as a whole, all of these stories are stories that we build upon, stories and foundations of who we are. But if that's all we are, we're missing out. The events of the past are just that. In many ways, they have shaped us, but they are the past. God tells us that the past does not need to hold on to us and to define us. Here, Isaiah is telling the people to look for the new thing that God is doing already in their midst. Not what God will do years, 10, 20, 100 years down the road, but what God is already doing in their midst, right there and right now. In the same way that God was present in the Exodus and in the exile, God is present there and now. Remember the past, I hear him saying, but don't dwell on it. Don't hold on to it for too long. Look for what God is doing now. One thing that I have learned in my life of faith is that following Jesus often means taking risks. Not always, but often. Life with God is meant, I think, to be one of moving out of our comfort zone, doing things that are uncomfortable at times. Life with God means moving out into the unknown. While holding on, though, of course, to the promises of God's goodness and God's extravagance. If we didn't have that, risk would not be possible. I think we too are called out to act in faith. And that being called out, it includes being challenged and taking risks. Risking the way of Jesus is risking the way of love. Risking the way of extending care and compassion for another beyond our own needs. Risking the way of Jesus, I think, means being risking the way of inclusion, of welcoming the stranger even when it's strange. Risking the way of Jesus is risking the way of peace and nonviolence, the way of generosity and giving for all beyond what feels comfortable and sure. I think the word faith often is used as a noun, a thing. Faith is a thing. But more importantly, I think the word faith should be a verb, an action word, a doing word. For faith is active. Faith is alive. Faith is acknowledging the faithfulness of God in the past, but moving out into the open and to the future, alert and aware of what God is doing now and being a part of what God is doing now. Again, Isaiah said, don't dwell on the things of the past. Don't get bogged down in nostalgia. I am about to do something completely new. Can't you see it taking shape before your eyes? Don't get bogged down in the past. What thing can you see God doing now? Amen.